That is the second chapter of the book of Ruth. And we commence reading there at the verse number 1 of this passage of God's word. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the reapers that was set over the, or the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thy sight, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken kindly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God, this is thy word. I pray in the Savior's name that thou wilt take it and use it for thy glory. We thank thee that we're gathered here around thy book. We ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt even put an interest in the hearts of those that perhaps have no interest in these things at all. Because, O God, we may see the miraculous working of the power of God even in this young life. O God, I pray that thou wilt work in lives here, that thou wilt change hearts and change destinies, that even this morning that thou wilt bring souls to Christ. And so to this end, I pray that thou wilt give me power to preach thy word, that in all things thy name will be glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day that we looked at this passage of God's word, we find Ruth, and she's in the field, verse number 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now, of course, what we find, it was not just any field. It just wasn't any field, but it was a particular field. It was a field that belonged to Boaz. Remember, in those days in the Bible, there were no hedges. There were no walls around these fields, because in actual fact, it was one large field that was owned by several people. And we would find that at the end of the ownership, there would just be a little pile of stones would be put up just to determine the end of that particular ownership. There were no hedges, no signs to point. This is the field of Boaz. So therefore, whenever Ruth was going to this particular field, she did not know that this was indeed the field of Boaz at all. What we do see in that, of course, is the ordering of God in all things, the God who is in absolute control. And you know, the Word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 41 that we're not to be dismayed, because I am thy God. I am God in control. And thank God today we can rejoice in the midst of every situation that God, if we're trusting in the Lord, that he is in absolute control. And what we see here, that this field was ordered by God, not by Ruth. Now remember, whenever she was leaving her mother-in-law, this is what she said. Go back to verse number 2. It says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find favor. In other words, she was looking for someone to show her grace, that in whose sight I shall find grace. And so therefore, she was looking for grace. She was looking to find grace whenever she was heading to the field. Now, grace is favor that's bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and cannot earn it. And we know that Ruth of herself did not deserve it, because she was a foreigner. She was a Moabitess. She was a stranger. And therefore, she didn't earn it. She couldn't earn it, because she had nothing. She was a widow woman. She had absolutely nothing. But God meets her need in grace. She was looking for grace, and thank God she found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God showed her to a particular field, and God meets her need of grace through Boaz. You can see how God perfectly planned this all. You know, the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And that's exactly what the Lord was doing. God was directing her steps. You know, she was able to say, as was said in Genesis chapter 24, verse 27, I being in the way the Lord led, I being the way the Lord led me. And she went and she gleaned in the field. And thank God, even though she was there, she wasn't gleaning with the reapers. Notice in verse number 3, it says, she gleaned in the field after the reapers. In other words, she was content even just to be in the field. I wonder this morning, maybe you haven't what others have, but I wonder, do you have contentment? I thank God whenever I go out and I visit, especially elderly people, and you know, with their lot that they have in life, just the contentment that they show, and they display a wonderful contentment. The Word of God says, be content with such things as ye have. Not as you'd like to have, but as ye have. But if you are happy to be in the way that the Lord leads, and finding grace in the sight of the Lord, then he'll give a contentment. Now you'll notice when it comes to verse 4, the scene turns here. It says, and behold, that word is an arresting word, it's an exclamation. And behold, it says, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And so the Word of God turns us completely from Ruth going into the field and turns us to this particular person called Boaz. Just then, presently, look here, behold, the Spirit of God draws our attention to Boaz, who's an important person in God's plan and God's purpose for Ruth and the future of Ruth. And when you read that word in the book of Ruth, there is a sense that indeed that we see the hand of God absolutely controlling and directing the scene. You see, there was no accident here that Boaz came. At this particular time, let me tell you, up until this moment, Boaz had been in Bethlehem in the city. But he leaves the city, and at this particular moment, he comes to this particular field under God at the same time as Ruth is gleaning in the field. Say, for example, Boaz had come when Ruth had gone. Friend, the two would never have met. But God had it all planned. My Father planned it all.
And so we see here the direction, the leading, the guiding of the Lord, and directing Boaz to get up from where he was, to go down to his field, and Ruth at that particular moment being in that field at that moment. What do we see here? The sovereign working of God. God sovereignly working it all out. And friend, I tell you, whenever you see the sovereign working of God in your life, no matter what you have to face, it'll thrill your soul. Thank God it'll give you comfort. Even when the storms of life are raging, tempest wild and sea and land, when you know that God's in the midst of the whole situation, and when you see the hand of God in the midst of the situation, thank God you'll have a sweet contentment, you'll have a happiness. As the hymn writer says, He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Now, the first thing I want us to notice, we're looking at Boaz this morning. First thing I want you to notice is his presence. It says here, he came from Bethlehem. Now, that's a little statement. It's just a statement of fact, isn't it? He came from Bethlehem. But why did he come? Why did he come? Well, we see that God was overruling and God sent him there. But he had a purpose in coming himself. This was his plan in coming. What was it? Well, the Bible tells us here in verse number 4 that he came and he said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. And so we notice, as far as he was concerned, he was coming to encourage the reapers as they were reaping his harvest. In other words, he was showing a concern for the work that his reapers were doing. And friend, let me tell you this, the Lord doesn't stand back when you and I are serving him and you and I are working for him. The Lord doesn't stand back not showing any concern. The Lord is concerned, and he came to be an encouragement to them. And we'll see that in what he says. He comes to be a blessing to them. He comes to bless them. And of course, God says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And thank God he comes to bless. Do you see the godly presence here? When we think about his presence, it was a godly presence. Look at the words he said. It says, And Boaz said to the reapers, The Lord be with thee, or the Lord be with you. Now, what a wonderful way to greet the reapers. These were his laborers. These were his workers. But friend, let me tell you this. He says, The Lord be with you, or may the Lord be with you. It was an earnest desire. It was an earnest prayer of this man's heart that the Lord would be with his reapers. You know, he was the landowner. And in those days, let's be honest, many of the landowners in those days didn't care about their workers. They didn't care as long as they did, because many of them, in actual fact, were harsh in the way that they treated their servants and treated their workers. But you notice this godly man, he honors the Lord in his conversation. The first thing he says to his workers is this, The Lord be with thee. And I notice, you'll notice this, it's not the only time he brings the Lord into his conversation. In chapter 2, in verse number 12, he says, The Lord recompense thy work. In chapter 3, in verse number 10, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. In chapter 3, in verse number 13, he said, As the Lord liveth. He was a person who brought the Lord into his conversation. What a godly master. What a godly man that was in control of these reapers. And because of that, he had a desire for the blessing of the Lord. This was a prayer of blessing. He desired the Lord's blessing on the lives of his servants or in the lives of his reapers. What a godly attitude. What a godly attitude. And friend, let me tell you, this was not something, as far as he was concerned, as I said, this was not something that was unusual. This was not something that was out of the ordinary, because he lived that kind of a life. How do I know? Because whenever he said that, it says, And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. He has such a testimony. He has such a testimony amongst his servants. That whenever he came and met them, he desired God's blessing. But thank God, the reply of the reapers, they answered, The Lord bless thee. Do you notice here the respectful relationship Do you notice that comfortable relationship between the master and the servants here, in even away back there in the book of Ruth? Now, the Bible tells us, in actual fact, there ought to be that relationship between God's servants, who are masters in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 2, it says this: "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." There ought to be that relationship. He showed the interest in his people and in their lives, but they also showed their respect for him in the reply, which they said, "The Lord bless thee." It has been said, you know, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know. There's a lot of people, let me tell you this, and they have a lot of knowledge, but I can tell you this: their attitude is absolutely obnoxious. They have this attitude of superiority. Whenever Boaz came, he was the master. The Bible says he was a mighty man. The Bible says he was a wealthy man. But notice his attitude. He had a godly attitude. He had a godly attitude. And friend, that ought to be the attitude that God's people, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you a caring heart this morning? As a child of God, do you have a caring? You know, whenever I was thinking about it, I must be honest, isn't it, you know, people say to me sometimes about whenever you go to America and people, you walk into a shop and people say to you in America, you know, "Have a nice day." And people say to me, you know, they probably don't mean it. Well, says I, I'll tell you this, I'd rather have them saying that to me or giving an old grunt. You know, friend, I tell you this, we take things for granted. Here's a man, he goes into the field and he sees his servants, and what does he say? He says, "The Lord bless you. I want God's blessing upon you." And you know, that heartful greeting, that heartful greeting. You know, whenever you're meeting someone as a child of God, be careful whenever you meet people. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there and they're hurting. There are a lot of people with burdens out there. And you know, whenever they meet you, do you help to lift that burden or do you add to it? Do you help them along the way? Are you an encouragement? I read this: a heartful greeting can energize the weary and it can encourage the lonely. And I believe that. I believe it can. It's, you know, whenever there's someone and when you meet them, and friend, there's something about them, there's something joyful about that person. There's something, my, there's a humility and yet there's a joy in the midst of it. They're a blessing to you. I said mine back in 50 years. And I tell you, when I was thinking about this, I say this honestly before God. I remember in the old tin hut, whenever people came in through the door, I remember Huey Wiley standing in that door. And whenever Huey stood there, there was a smile upon his face, let me tell you, and a hand went out there. And I tell you, there was a joy in that. There was a real joy in that. And I can tell you, I can still see that smile, the warmth of that welcome. Is that what we have? Is the attitude that we give, friend? Because let me tell you, if it's not there, you really can't put it on. Because then you'd be only a hypocrite. But there ought to be. There ought to be a caring amongst God's people, that we care for the one and for the other, that we care whenever they're hurting, we care whenever they're grieving. And that's exactly, that was the presence here of this man. But then secondly, notice, we've got to move on quickly. Look, go to verse 5. See his perception. Not only his presence, but notice his perception. It says there, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Whose damsel is this? Now, as Boaz looked over the reapers, he noticed someone there that he had never seen before. And he took notice of her, and he inquired after her. Now, that is also a message to us as well. Because if somebody comes into the fellowship, whether it be into the tent or whether a person comes in to the Lord's house, you know, we who have a care for the people of God, we ought to have that welcome into, we ought to show that interest in that person. They've never been there before. Would they know they're welcome? Here was a girl, she had never been there before. And listen, Boaz was a mighty man and he was a wealthy man. But I tell you this, whenever he looked over that field, he noticed one person there that he had never seen before. And he asked about her. He asked about her. Now, he didn't overpower her. You don't just, you know, overpower a person. But you do show an interest in the work of God and in the people of God. And so we find here that he inquires after her. You see, she was gleaning not with the reapers. She was gleaning after the reapers. But you know, nothing escaped the master's notice. And friend, let me tell you, there's nothing escapes our master's notice. Thou God seest me. But the wonderful thing was here. Here was an outcast. Here was a stranger. Here was a foreigner. Here was a widow. Here was a nobody as far as the land of Israel is concerned. But I can tell you this. Here was rich, wealthy, mighty Boaz. And he noticed this girl on her own. And he showed an interest in the outcast. He showed an interest in the nobody. Isn't it amazing? Of course, this was display of, what was she looking for? The grace. This was grace in action. She was looking for someone to show her grace. Here was grace in action. Boaz displayed, I was just thinking about it. Actually, he displayed more interest in this lowly girl than he did about the harvest. His harvest was not his interest here. He didn't ask about, how are you getting on the harvest? How are you getting it? Are you bringing it all in and you're getting it all in for me? No, no, friend. No, that was not. He showed more interest in one outcast girl that was on her own, that was gleaning after the reapers, than even about the harvest. Now, of course, the servant replied, or the one that was in charge of his reapers replied. Look at verse number 5. Then he asked, well, whose damsel is this? Verse 6. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. He mentions her past. First thing he says, listen, he says, that is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi. He mentions her past. Again, stressing the fact of her Moabite ancestry. And remember, that was a nation that was despised by the Jews. But I tell you this, no matter about her past, thank God, he still showed an interest. And praise God, my friend, we find here that the Lord is interested in the outcasts, in the nobodies, in the sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You notice it says, she was the one that came back with Naomi out of the country. She had separated herself. She came out of the country. She separated herself from idolatry. She separated herself from the evil practices of Moab. While she was a Moabitess, that's where she came from. But she left them. Yes, everybody in this service this morning has a past. But I can tell you this, the Lord has promised that he'd blot out our past. And as God unsovereignly worked out a blessed future for this girl, so God will give a blessed future for you. Notice not only, quickly, her present, notice her propriety. Verse number 7. She said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the fields. Notice what she didn't demand. She didn't go up to Boaz's servant and say, listen, I want to demand my rights. She didn't go up and say, well, I want to demand special privileges, which the law actually gives to strangers. She didn't do that, friend. She only wanted to be in the place where grace had put her. She was happy with that. I have no doubt that Ruth prayed that God would guide her. She said, I shall find grace, in whose sight I shall find grace. I have no doubt she prayed that God would guide her. But she didn't ask for rights. She didn't ask for privileges. She didn't assume. She didn't presume. But notice she exercised courtesy, good manners, godly character. She sought permission. And there she continued. She continued, verse 7. Even from the morning until now, she tarried little in the house. He noted her steadfastness. He was a woman that came early in the morning, but she was still there. She was still working. She only rested in the tent or the shelter where the reapers could shade from the intense heat, getting a little respite. Notice there it says, she tarried a little in the house. And friend, that says something else. If a worker is always looking to see how he can scave off and how he can fleece his employer and do as little as he can and take as much time off as he can, then I can tell you that person has no integrity. Here's a girl who, from early morning until now, and she only for a little moment to be refreshed. Here is a godly young woman, and she carries a good witness. And friend, before God, we ought to carry a good witness amongst our fellow employers or employees that we are God's children. Therefore, we take a righteous stand. We do what is right. We honor the Lord in the way we are employed, in the things that we do. We honor Him. And that was noted. And that was told to Boaz. We see his presence, and we also see, secondly, his perception. Let's go now further. Notice his proclamation. In the light of that, let's go down to verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Now let me this. Ruth did not approach Boaz. Boaz approached her. She was looking for grace. That she was desiring before she left home that morning. She was looking for grace in the sight of someone that day. But Ruth had no basis to approach the master of the field and speak to him. In grace, he spoke first to her. And he called her. And friend, let me tell you, that's how we are saved. In grace, God calls us to himself. God calls us to himself. And you notice the words he speaks. He speaks words of acceptance to her. He speaks words of assurance to her. Notice what he says. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Those opening words. My daughter. Boaz took the initiative. He calls this impoverished Moabite girl, my daughter. Now, he wasn't speaking about her age, but he was speaking with a term of endearment. He's stating his desire to treat her as a member of his family. And he's offering to take responsibility that goes beyond anything of giving permission to glean in the field. God is working out a wonderful plan and a wonderful purpose. I see the hand of God. Once again, even in Boaz's response, it's a response of grace. And he calls her my daughter. But let me tell you, now are we the sons and daughters of God because of God's grace. He has not only called us to himself, but thank God he has redeemed with his precious blood, and he says, thou art mine. And the wonderful thing is this, that the Lord puts his seal upon us. He said, listen, you're my child. As many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, the authority to become the child of God, even to them that believe on his name. What does he say to her? He says, my daughter, hear this. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. What he's saying is this. This is the best place for you to be. And so it was for him. Do you know why? Because it was the will of God. It was in the will of God. And friend, that's the best place to be. That's the only place where God's child can know God's blessing. It is to be in the place, in the center of God's will. He says, listen, you don't need look anywhere else. Abide, stay here. Stay here. Abide here fast. See that word? It means as the word, as Ruth clave unto Naomi. He said, listen, abide fast. Join yourself closely. Stick like glue to my maidens. You see, why did he say that? Because, friend, in the days of the judges, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And it was a dangerous place for a young woman to be. There was danger. Because, you see, it was a time of lawlessness. It was a time of immorality that reigned. And here was an attractive, young, impoverished, Moabite widow. She'd be in danger on her own. So he says, listen, join yourself, glue yourself to my maidens. And friend, let me tell you, there's a lesson in here as well. You see, when God saves you, you need to glue yourself to the people of God. You need to fellowship with the people of God, not sit out on your own. You say to me, well, listen, but I can just sit in my own house and I can open my own Bible and I don't have to come to church. The Word of God says, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. God's people ought to fellowship together. The little illustration of the coal. You see this in this lovely coal fire, friend. And you can see the brightly burning of that coal as they burn together. But you take one of those coal off the fire and you just set it by itself. See how long it burns bright. The answer is it doesn't. It loses its flame. And I can tell you, there's those who lose their flame, they lose their joy, they lose their vibrance for God because they're not willing to abide fast by the maidens in the fellowship of the work of God. I said it was a dangerous place. The world is a dangerous place because let me tell you, friendship with the world is a danger for the child of God. We're not to love it. Love not the world. We're not to love the world, friend. The child of God is not to be the friend of the world, but they're to love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, you love God's people. But notice what happened here. He not only said, listen, abide here fast by the maidens, but go to verse number 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Let your eyes be on the field. Keep focused on the field where God has put you. Ah, child of God, listen, keep focused. You see, the devil wants you to look on somebody else's field. Have you ever heard the old saying? It's always greener on somebody else's side of the fence. And if I only had that field, that's what happened to Vineyard. That's what happened to old Ahab. He wasn't satisfied with the vineyard he had. He wanted Naboth's. His looked brighter, better. Cost him an awful price in the judgment of God. Look not on somebody else's field. That's what he's saying. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Child of God, I says, keep your eye on the field where God has put you. Keep your eye on this field. Keep focused on this field where God has placed you in this place. Go not to glean in another field. Don't be distracted. Why, the old devil's so subtle. He wants to get your eyes in somebody else's field. He wants to lift your eyes of the place of service where God has put you. And staying there, notice the promise. This is found in verse 9. He promises, Boaz promises, he promises to give her protection. He says, I have charged the young man that they shall not touch thee. You're going to be safe because I'm taking responsibility for you. And I'm going to look after you. And friends, let me tell you what Boaz is saying. Don't you touch my daughter. And I tell you, friend, it's always a dangerous thing when somebody touches God's child. Scripture says, touch not mine anointed, and do my servant no harm. There's a warning in it. Because God will judge. God will judge those that touch his child. It's not that his child deserves anything. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. But God says, I've told them, don't you touch her. You're not to touch her, do her any harm. And they not only he promised her protection, he promised her water. He said, and when you're athirst, go on to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. You see, friend, let me tell you, water was vital for gleaning. Working in the field was hot. The body fluids needed replenished. Her thirst needed to be satisfied. And he said, listen, Ruth, whenever you're athirst, you have access. You have access to the water which the young men have drawn from the well. What did Boaz do, friend? Listen, he raised her status. He raised her status among the reapers. Thank God the Lord has promised, he who drinks of the water that I'll give him will never thirst again. All the refreshment and all the satisfaction you need is provided in Christ. Very quickly, what did Ruth do? Verse 10, she fell on her face and she bowed herself to the ground. She prostrated herself in humility, meekness. She was broken by grace. This is amazing. I don't deserve this, she said. Why have I found grace? There she talked about it again. What had she been looking for? She had been looking for someone to show her grace. And now she says, why have I found grace? I don't understand why I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. There's not one of us this morning but stands back in amazement at the grace of God. We don't deserve this salvation. We don't deserve to be in the family of God. We don't deserve to be lifted out of the dunghill. We don't deserve to be taken from the outcast and sat amongst princes. If we did deserve it, wouldn't be grace. But he's promised all of these benefits. Just as the Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits. But she acknowledges her unworthiness. She couldn't understand that she, a stranger, an outcast, could enjoy such favor. But that's the amazing grace of God. But notice quickly, notice his praise. Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, he says, it has been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. Ruth may have been a stranger, but by her actions, friend, past and present, because she was working to give Naomi bread, to bring bread home to Naomi. She promised, I'll be faithful to you, Naomi, and your God will be my God, and where you lie, I lie, and even when you die, there will I be buried. He recognized her testimony. It had been fully shown me all that thou hast done. What a testimony. He knew all. He knew that she had left her father and her mother, and she had trusted Naomi's God. Look at verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He recognized her testimony. He reassured her treatment because he talked about a full reward. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. And he revealed her trust. Now let me tell you, it says, Boaz answered and said, and I'll tell you what he did there. Because the people knew that this was a Moabite woman. She was an outcast. But Boaz lifts up his voice so that all the people can hear what he has got to say. He is not ashamed to be identified with her anymore. God has brought this. You see, the Bethlehemites reapers, they were watching. And there we see his praise. And thank God the Lord is not ashamed to call you and I his people. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his amazing grace. Her faith was the foundation of her blessing. Thou art come to trust. She had nestled under God's wings. And God's man acknowledged it. Time's away, but you can go on in that passage of God's word. You see the petitioner. You see, grace was offered, and now grace is sought. You notice what she does in verse 13. She says, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. She was seeking for continued grace. And friend, that's what we need. Listen, it's God's grace that has brought us safe thus far. But it's only God's grace that'll bring us home. She's acknowledging here that this blessing is on the basis of grace. And notice she gives her heartfelt thanks. For thou hast comforted me. For thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. The goodness, the blessing, the provision of God. Study the next verses, the plenty. Because I tell you what happened there. What happened was this. When it came to the time to have food, not only did the reaper sit down, not only did Ruth sit down at Boaz's command, but Boaz sat down too. He sat down with them. And as they sat down, you know what Boaz did? He took the bread, the parched corn, bread, and he gave it unto Ruth. He gave it to her. And you know what the Bible says? She was sufficed. But there was some left over. We haven't time to go into this. There was some left over. What did she do with it? What was left, she took home to Naomi. For she too, not only was blessed, listen, she wanted to become a blessing. Child of God, you're blessed. Is it not time to give? Is it not time to become a blessing? Naomi was sitting at home, hungry. But as Ruth sat at that table with Boaz, she never forgot Naomi. And she was sufficed, but she took home to be a blessing to the one that she loved. Oh, may God make us a blessing today. And may the Lord use us to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Teach us through thy word. As we come to thy table, bless us again. For Jesus' sake. Amen.